talking about the most dull stuff. Hi. How are you?
Well.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, I want you to tell me a thing.
You've got something in your tooth.
Oh, Josie, I just want you to tell me that thing.
This one.
It's that stupid basil toast I eat every morning. You know what? Sometimes I'm just like, fuck it. I'm just going to walk around being like a green-toothed monster and I just don't care. Because why is that weird? I just ate some food. Mm. Sorry for eating, everybody in the world. Apologies. Anyway, I don't know. In a mood this morning because I got up this morning and I put my outfit on because I have a date tonight and haven't been on a date for ages, as you know, because I've been in hibernation. So I was like, no, get back out there. Be like spicy and like fun and like, you know.
That's great.
Get into it again. And I put on this outfit because I thought I looked really nice. And then Kate goes, that's a very mumsy top. And I said, I wear this top all the time. Like I literally wear, how often do I wear this top? Like that constantly. Top. Yes.
She said that was mumsy.
She thinks this top is mumsy.
It's not mumsy.
I know.
As someone who's about to be a mum, it's not mumsy.
But do you know what I mean? Like you don't, like in your 30s, you don't want someone to say to you, that's a mumsy outfit.
No. Well, I got a maternity dress. And I tried it on and I had like my crop top, my bedtime crop top underneath. And I was just looking at the dress.
Yeah.
And Julian walked in and was like, you look like a mum. And I'm like, oh, and I'm sending it back. He's like, no, I just mean because you can see your white, sensible crop top underneath.
And you're like, it doesn't matter, Julian.
And I was just like, you've said you look like a mum and I don't want to look like a mum. So and
now
it's going
back. It's a cursed dress now.
It's gone.
It doesn't matter if it was like the nicest dress and 50 other people said, no, you look like a babe in that dress.
No one wants to look mumsy.
No, mums don't want to look mumsy.
No, this is my thing. I'm like really stressing now that everyone's helped with maternity wear in the group. Now I'm like, how do I, when I'm actually the mum next year, how do I keep being me?
But also with accessible boobs.
Yeah.
My friend, boobs that just can be accessed at all times from all directions.
My friend Amber gave me a good hack. She said to get one of those, well, a lot of those breastfeeding singlets and then put your band tee over the top. So then when you have to lift one top up, you're not like, hey, everyone, here's my stomach, which probably won't be the best stomach after being pregnant for 9 months.
Yeah.
So the singlet keeps a bit of modesty happening.
So everything's on lock.
Yeah. She was like, I've been thinking about your band tees. She was like, really, like you, concerned about how I could dress.
How I can keep my band tees.
How I can keep
in
being
constant
me.
Rotation.
Speaking of clothes.
Yeah.
I was in the Uber here because we came here early, guys, because we're so committed.
We're so committed to getting slightly back on track.
To bringing you a podcast today and because there's the climate change protest, which is very important.
Yes, and we back it hard.
We back it. We're attending, but it's 2 hours in the middle of the day. So we needed to come in early and record. And so then I was running late and I was in an Uber and I was just sitting there. And I had this really chatty French driver. It was nice, but I just wasn't in the right mood. Hadn't had a coffee. And I was just like looking down and then I was like, fuck, my dress is on inside out. And then I messaged you. I'm like, it's on the wrong way. This is how tired I was.
It's really fine though. She's got a t-shirt tied over the top of her dress.
Yeah.
So there's a tag, but it's very far down on the dress. You'd have to be really observant.
Don't you love how I just haven't bothered to fix it even though
I know. So she said this
work.
And then she's been at work. Like, there was this whole like 15-minute window where potentially Josie could have gone and fixed. I don't think you're gonna fix it. I think you're just gonna stay this way all day.
I think I might just wear an inside
it's
out
a lot
dress
of effort to
today.
Change it.
I can't be bothered. I'm just gonna lean into my scatterbrained self today.
You know what, it's a mood. It's Friday, as we always say. It's Friday, and anything goes on Friday.
So this episode is very late because we've just our lives have been a bit disrupted lately.
They have been.
We've had trips overseas.
Yes.
We've had illnesses. We've had batchy.
It's literally been 90% me and 10% Josie. It's like
also Bachelor. Mostly Bachelor.
It's mainly Bachelor, which is fucking over. Thank.
We're happy.
Do you know, we enjoy it as a franchise.
Yeah.
We get very invested, but at the same time, once the series is over, I'm like, wow, look at all this free brain space I have for
and
much more interesting things to think about.
3-hour block on a Wednesday and Thursday, which we can now use for other things like recording podcasts.
And just thinking about, you know, world peace, anything else
things
besides
that aren't
who Matt Agnew is going to pick.
Abby. I'm still sad about that.
I know. So we were backing Abby pretty hard.
Yeah.
As many of you may know, and it's a controversial one because I know a lot of people weren't into her, but I feel like we thought that she was a bit misrepresented in the show.
Yeah.
And
they had a good
vibe. They had a really good vibe together, I felt as well. We felt, both of us.
Yeah.
And but you know what? He's picked Chelsea. And I don't think any of you really care. This is a very stale conversation
so
now
stale,
that it's happened. So no one cares.
Yeah. I'm hoping to get this episode out today.
Yeah. So it won't be that stale.
It's like only a day stale.
Yeah.
People are still going to be talking about it.
Exactly.
Like the Uber driver this morning. Oh, I was I really don't want to talk about this. And he was like, do you have any exciting plans for the weekend? I'm like, no. I'm literally going to Melbourne to watch the preliminary final of the AFL.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. But I just couldn't be bothered talking about it.
You don't want to bring it up.
No. And he's like, oh, nothing? Okay. Felt like such a bitch.
Sometimes I'm like that in Uber. Sometimes I'm like Chatty Chatterson from Chattersville. Same. And then other times I'm like,
yeah.
Yep. No. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like trying not to be rude, but I'm also like get the hint here that I just don't feel like talking.
Want you to be silent and I'm going to be silent.
We're all going to be silent.
You're going to look at the road. I'm going to look at my phone.
Yep. And you're going to have a nice time feeling like quiet. I just think like it's not like I want to be rude, but it's like maybe you want a break too.
Yeah, don't feel like you have to talk to me.
Sometimes I think that they feel this pressure and it's like, no, I can be your quiet customer. And you get to have a little silent time.
When you said that, I heard it in the Enrique Iglesias. I can be your quiet customer.
Be your hero, baby. Do, do. I'll stay with you.
Remember the video?
Remember. Oh, God, that sounds good. You
can. Jennifer Love Hewitt in the video.
I thought it was his tennis playing girlfriend.
I thought it was Jennifer Love Hewitt.
It may have been.
What was the one with Jennifer Love Hewitt and they stole all the money and then they were like making out on the bed and like rubbing her boobs with money?
Whoa. I don't even know what that is. Is that in your dream?
Maybe I just had a sex dream.
A weird sex dream about Jennifer Love Hewitt and Enrique Iglesias.
Rubbing money on her boobs. I swear she's in one of his
videos. Look, I'm not going
to. But it might not be Hero.
I'm not going to put money on Hero being tennis girl.
He had like four bangers in a row from that one
by
album.
Amo. Let the river take you over by Amo.
And
Tequiera, Mamacita. I don't know what the words
and,
are.
And you can run, you can hide, but you can't escape my
love. Oh, yeah, no, that maybe was a
that,
soft
maybe
banger.
That was her in that one.
Well, it would make sense because they're running and hiding.
And Don't Turn Out the Lights. That was another
don't
one.
Turn Out the Lights. I don't know why this became 90s karaoke hour, but you know what?
Enrique Iglesias karaoke
I don't think
hour.
You guys hated. I think you guys really loved that. Were you singing along? I hope so.
I hope you were like screaming out the right answer to that, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
When
conundrum.
You finish this episode, I need you to all go and listen to an Enrique Iglesias playlist that I'm going to make for you. I'll put it in the group. We're going to listen to it straight after this. Absolutely.
In the office.
It'll get turned off in 1 minute, but that's okay.
Everyone sucks.
I did have one really quick story. It's not a quick story, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
Okay.
So I was in the group and I was reading a message. It was by someone had posted. So Sam Beebs posted this event that it's in Arizona, so it's in America. And it's like you have to try and survive Jason from Halloween with your friends.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's
I'm
like
scared.
You know those Halloween things? Americans do them so well and they like take over a field.
Yeah.
And then they'll set up like a haunted experience or like an evil
that's really scary.
Like horror movie experience.
Yeah.
I hate that shit.
Americans
I hate it.
To Halloween.
They fucking go
it's theirs.
They go all in. It is theirs. It really is. I don't think it is theirs. I think it might be like some pagan thing.
Oh
but
yeah, but
irrelevant.
They made it theirs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's very American.
We just sort of do it in this real half ass fashion.
Yeah.
But they like commit.
Oh my God, they commit.
And anyway, it reminded me. Because I hate that shit. I would spend that whole time screaming. And it reminded me of when I was like 20, like too old to behave this way. Me and my cousins and my sister went to Movie World. Mm. And we were walking. They had like a Harry Potter exhibit.
Yeah.
Oh, I told you this story before.
No,
okay.
I'm just already laughing.
You just already know what's going to happen.
Because I know it's going to be funny.
So they had this Harry Potter exhibit. And it was like so half-assed as well. They'd like taken over like an old like walk-through thing that would have been like Looney Tunes related and then just like ripped the guts out of it and then just sort of painted the walls brown and like shoved a few props in there, you know, like, and they're like, it's Diagon Alley. And you're like, is it? Anyway, so we walked through and it's all pretty shit at first, but we were like Harry Potter nerds to the next level at that time. So it was exciting.
Because you've kept that a secret.
My like low down Harry Potter obsession and your like high key Harry Potter obsession.
And then it just comes out. Every now and then. Ran a blog. Anyway, that's a whole other story, which we've talked about before.
We have talked about before. But anyway, so you go through, yeah, so it's just like all very themed.
Yeah.
But then in one room you get to Nocturne Alley.
Oh, and so it's creepy. Bad alley.
But it's not that creepy because it's for children. It's literally everyone with us was 8 and under. And then there was like these 4 adults that were there. And in the corner was a Dementor.
No.
No.
They are so fucking scary.
Exactly. And it looked like a statue, so I just assumed it was a statue. And then it moved, and of course I screamed because I was like, what the fuck? I thought that was a statue and it's like a person.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the person's probably another 20-year-old dude who's or girl, even anyone, who's just like that fucking dickhead of a, like, adult. I'm going to go for them because they screamed and, like, I don't want to actually give a child, like, a traumatic experience PTSD. That follows them for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
So they start walking towards me all creepy. I can't see their face.
No.
And I'm screaming, and all the kids are, like, now panicking because I'm screaming. Because,
and you're an adult. You're because to keep shit together. Because
they're, like, they're probably, like, you know, their moms are there and stuff, and they're probably just like, oh, yeah, like, this is fine because mum's calm. But then as soon as an adult in their vicinity starts like panicking.
It's really alarming when you're a kid and an adult is not keeping their shit together.
Exactly. So they're like freaking out. And he keeps coming closer and closer to me. And then I start whacking him with my handbag because I was actually so scared. It was like an instinct to just like start belting him over the head with my handbag. And anyway, and then like he obviously backed off because I literally hit him.
Yeah.
And then we exited. So what I was saying in the group was if I went on the Jason thing, I'd probably end up kicking him in the balls, the poor actor.
Or just throwing your entire handbag at him.
Yeah. Just throw rocks at him. Like,
oh, my God. Yeah, that would be horrible. It's not my idea of fun.
No.
It's like how I'm low-key trying to get out of going to the quarantine station because I have Kardashians trivia.
I mean, we did commit.
We didn't with the actual people from the quarantine.
Josie committed to me, but she's now trying to find loopholes in the commitment.
I just don't know if I can go on that day, but I can go another time.
I think you're not going to Kardashian's trivia is what's happening.
I want to go. I'm going to nail it.
I'm going to nail it. I don't know if winning Kardashian's trivia is like the pinnacle of life experience right now, but, you know, maybe we can work something
out. Yeah, simple pleasures, you know. I'll take what I can get. Should we talk about a mystery?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. The thing that we actually are supposed to do in this episode, but never do properly.
Okay, so I'm excited about this one, mainly because I didn't have to do any work this week.
And also, that's true, and it's so extensively researched. I think you researched this for like 2 weeks before we did it.
Well, remember on the day I hadn't like finished it, which is so unlike me. And remember I put in the group. When we say the group, by the way, if you're new to this podcast,
yes,
it's the Facebook group. Search All Aussie Mystery Hour podcast on Facebook. It'll pop up. Join. There's like almost 7,000 people in there.
Yeah, it's getting quite like hectic.
It's a little
hectic. We are finding it hard to moderate now because it's like every morning there's like 20 new posts.
Also, and 18 of them are the same thing.
Yeah, so don't be upset if your post gets deleted. It's probably just because it's been in there like a million times already.
Quick tip actually, if you go to like the way the posts are displayed, you can change it to most recent and it's everything in order. So it's not like a weird algorithm.
Yes.
It's everything in order. So you can like go and look at the last few posts before you try and post, because for example this week we had a lot of people posting about the Beaumont kid's mother passing away.
Josie actually cried at her death. Proper tears.
I definitely cried. It was very sad. But then there were like 18 people that day that tried to share it, which is great because it's totally on topic. Great thing to share in the group, but not 18 times.
Yes.
So that's why they all got declined, because we don't want to overwhelm everyone.
Yeah.
But I remember when, so this is the case I did for the live show. We've only done one live show. It was in Sydney. Sorry, everyone else. And I remember on the day I was like, guess who hasn't finished researching? And everyone voted for you.
Yes.
And it was me.
Dickheads.
It was me. I hadn't finished yet because there was quite a lot to it.
I was like sorted.
Yeah, you were like calm, collected, and I was like freaking out. I was like in that meeting room next door just frantically typing away. And like our boss came in and was like, so tell me how tonight's going to run. And I'm like, it's not, because I haven't finished my fucking case yet.
It's not happening. I'm going to get up there and I'm just going to go, it's not happening, anyone.
It's not it's happening. Over. But so many people have asked for this case. And obviously that live show is going to be an episode.
So this is our, you know what?
This is we'll our go number to one our gripe.
Graves with this yeah. gripe.
I said to Mel yesterday, I'll be on my deathbed thinking about this, yes. shaking my fist at the sky.
Just shaking this old, like, my skeleton fist. Yeah, it'll be like, damn you, giant dwarf.
The giant dwarf.
I don't care who knows it. Giant dwarf can suck a bag of fists.
Yeah, it was their fucking fault.
Yeah.
They didn't record my half of the podcast, and I was first, so then Mel's was shorter. A lot of jokes didn't make sense because they carried on.
From, also shit-faced.
Yeah, we were both super drunk by the time it was Mel's turn. And they just didn't record my case. So there was all this research. It's a great mystery. And then it just only 200 people that were there heard it. So I actually asked in the group recently if I could repeat it. And everyone kindly that was at the show said yes.
Well, so yeah, because okay, so here's the thing. And then you were like, so drunk, I don't even remember what any of it was.
What
is it?
What did you do?
How I remember nothing about this episode, this
really?
Mystery.
Really? Nothing.
Look, I've got some like top line. I remember a few sort of grey sort of images in my head of some things that I'd imagined as you were telling me them, but generally no idea because I'd had a whole bottle of wine.
Yeah, so. We were quite drunk and I was actually pregnant at the time and didn't know. Sorry, baby.
It was very small.
It was just like a cell.
It was one cell.
And like a liter of wine can't hurt that.
Well, you know what? If anything, it would just help it grow, I think. That's not medically factual, but if anyone, you know what, don't do it. But if you did do it, let me know if it helped it grow.
Well, I've got a very big bump, so maybe it did.
I mean, it's probably like some sort of like bionic child that's like immune to wine. It'll be like never get a hangover as an adult.
It's blood. It's just Pinot Grigio.
Pinot Grigio blood. It comes out like, becomes the best like sommelier in the world.
It would always smell hungover. Oh my God. You know, when you're hungover and just you smell like wine.
Just constant smell. Old wine as a baby.
Yuck.
No, I don't like this visual of your wine baby. Let's leave the wine baby.
I don't like my baby anymore.
Anyway, what is the mystery?
The case.
What is it?
It's Bogle Chandler. That's what it's called. So my dad told me about this case.
Yes.
And we were driving to Canberra to see my brother and I was just making conversation because sometimes my dad, I think he is a bit nervous about driving because he's like 800 years old now.
Yeah.
And so sometimes he goes really quiet in the car. It's like quite a long drive.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a weird drive to go quiet.
So I'm like trying to fill in, make conversation. I like went with some talking points and I'm like, I know, I'll get him to tell me about old mysteries. He told me a bunch, but this was the one I'd actually never heard of it. And then when I just did a cursory Wikipedia search when he was talking, I was like, this is gold.
Yeah.
And then I just thought it was so gold, it'd be good for a live show. So I saved it. So it's okay. I'm going to start with Bogle.
Not Bogey as not, I thought.
Not Bogey.
And I went through this whole bit where I thought she was saying Bogey and it's not. And I thought she meant like Humphrey Bogart, but it wasn't.
No, that would have been spicy. But this is still spicy.
It is. But Humphrey Bogart would have been spicier.
Yes, very much so.
He was so hot.
He was.
So sexy.
Bogey and Bacall.
Oh, they were such a delightful couple. This is the most stale. Yeah. This is the
this is very
peak
stale.
Of stale.
This is like 70 years.
It's like the only way we could be more stale is if we talked about like Antony and Cleopatra. such Adam a and good Eve. Couple. Adam and Eve. They were such a cool couple back in the day.
Oh my God, I just laughed so hard I burped. Oh. Sorry, everyone. So don't picture Bogle as Humphrey Bogart.
Oh.
Because remember I pictured him as Colin Firth in The King's Speech.
Okay.
And then I looked at him, and not being a bitch, but he's not hot. And that's important.
Not being a bitch, but he's like a soft three.
He's a soft three. And that's important to this case when you see the things he was doing.
Oh.
Because you might think that he was hot, but he's not. So Bogle is Gilbert Bogle. He was a physicist, a Rhodes Scholar, which is one of those things I always heard, but I didn't know what it meant, so I Googled it. It means that you scored a scholarship to study at Oxford.
Oh, well, that's not as important as it sounds.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm pretty sure a lot of people can get scholarships to Oxford. I just feel like...
What, like it's hard?
But, like, Rhodes Scholar to me sounds, like, on the same level as, like, Pulitzer Prize winning...
Yeah, I think whatever. It's, like, a school at Oxford, but whatever, okay. Who cares? So he...
Probably, like, three people in the world that have ever gotten
it. Three Rhodes Scholars.
It's so easy to
We're
do.
We're like, who gives
Fucking
a shit?
Fucking I could do it. I don't even know science.
So he was born in New Zealand in 1924.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1947... He went to the UK to do his Oxford fucking wankery.
Rhodes scholaring.
And he married his wife, Vivian, while he was over there in 1950. She was a school teacher. They had four kids. Oh. Just a bit of background. So then they went back to New Zealand. He was a uni lecturer in physics, but he got bored, as you would, because mm-hmm. that sounds very dull.
Yeah.
So he took a job in Sydney in 1956.
Mm-hmm.
And he accepted a three-year contract at the CSIRO.
Yes, which is not... CSR, the sugar company.
No, and it's not ASIO, the spy
And it's also not ASIO. It is CSIRO, which is a different company altogether.
It is the Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organisation.
I don't. You could be doing anything with that name and I would accept it.
Don't you think that still sounds a bit secretive?
Yes.
And like
That's
spicy?
What I mean. You could say, I work at the CSIRO. I am in a astro... Trology tech deregulating system.
Yes. And you'd be like, uh-huh.
I'd say, yes, you are smart.
Yeah. It sounds smart and secretive.
You're smart and I want to know all your secrets.
And he was smart and secretive. He was working in cryogenics,
oh,
which is like the Walt Disney.
The coolest secret thing.
Yeah.
Freezing fucking people and then reanimating them. Yes.
I love
Big
it.
Big mood.
And he was at this park called the National Standards. Is it laboratory or laboratory?
I think it's laboratory. But you shouldn't be asking me ever.
Yeah, you're right.
You're not the one that fucks
Geelong.
It up.
Geelong's my favorite ever.
Ori.
Did you see in the group today?
Yes, I did see about the Catholic. That's probably is where I picked it up, to be honest.
Oh, this is all really boring. Blah, blah, blah.
No, you did this last time. Tell me the boring things.
Well, so he was basically that amazing that he scored an extension of his role.
Okay.
To keep working in cryogenics. So his boss, G.H. Briggs, said he found Gilbert to be noteworthy for his mental powers.
Oh, my God. He's a bionic.
His knowledge, his capacity for original ideas, his drive and enthusiasm. His range of experimental techniques and his outstanding ability as a lecturer.
So he's basically like the most genius of all geniuses.
He's a genius. He was a good physicist. He was really charismatic.
Really good at freezing people and then reanimating
Everybody them. Loved him.
Mm-hmm.
That's him. But it wasn't just the blokes at the CSIRO mm-hmm. that liked Bogle.
Oh.
The ladies loved him
the
as well.
The ladies.
What? And he wasn't hot. This is what I mean. But he was very charismatic. You know, sometimes it's personality, which we were talking about yesterday.
Oh, absolutely. I way rather go for like a hilarious, interesting, fun, zesty person who isn't like a 10 out of 10 Brad Pitt lookalike.
Humphrey Bogart.
Than a Brad Pitt
Colin
with
Firth.
Like a very like old Chuck's personality. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And Gilbert was swinging his dick all over the CSIRO.
Oh, Gilbert. Just big energy to be the best at your work.
Yes.
But not like the hot guy.
Yes.
But then be like, well, I can fucking freeze people and reanimate them. So I don't think that's actually what they could do in cryogenics yet. But you know what? I like to believe
that's what he was looking into. He was also looking into a top secret government project.
Oh, that's sexy.
Involving a thing called Maser.
Maser?
Yeah.
What's a maser?
I've written here, it's something to do with radiation and what came before laser beams. And honestly,
this is when I thought it was laser sharks.
That's right. And then I said my eyes glazed over researching this part, but it's semi-relevant to the story.
I don't care, but I needed to include it.
It's semi-relevant.
It's semi-relevant. Well,
so
maser.
Keep it in your pocket.
Well, maser, like, I mean, I'm sorry. Here's the hottest thing you can possibly do.
Yes.
Be really good at reanimating people from frozen states.
Yep.
Cool,
yep.
Sexy, because you can help me not ever
die. You've
got,
like, the power of, like,
you are God.
Immortal
yes.
life.
Also, be, like, charismatic and funny.
Yep.
Also, be like, oh, yeah, I'm, like, working on, like, this top secret thing. It's called Mazer.
And I can't you tell can't, you anything else.
You wouldn't understand. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah, there's a mystique.
There's a mystique. To
Gilbert Bogle.
He's, yeah, I love him. I want to have sex with him.
You want to have sex with him. Oh, pardon me.
I'll join the queue apparently because there's a lot of women. Yeah, there was a queue.
So then because of this Mazer research, he was chosen to go on secondment and work for a U.S. company called Bell Laboratories in New Jersey to continue on with top secret research.
Into Mazer, and not sharks with lasers.
Similar, super similar.
So, was it?
I don't know.
I got so excited.
So that was like, next level. So that was like, you know how you just said, oh, I'm working on some government stuff. Now it's international.
Oh my God, my pants fell off. Government my stuff. My pants and top fell
Mel
off.
Mel is naked.
Everything fell off. I don't know how it happened.
I wish my dress would fall off so I could turn it around and wear it the right way. So he had to be cleared by ASIO and the FBI to do this gig over at Bell Laboratories.
All the head honchos.
So he was all set to go. This was in 1962, and he was going to start there in 1963.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've written here, until fate intervened.
Oh, no. Dun, dun, dun. I can sense the mystery is coming.
Well, now I'm leaving Bogle, and I'm going to Chandler.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
I'm going to Chandler. So Gilbert Bogle worked with another scientist at the CSIRO called Jeffrey Chandler. And he was like the opposite. Gilbert Bogle was like neat, side-parted hair, those kind of like ears that kind of stick out a bit.
Nothing about this serious sounds sexy face. To me.
Then Jeffrey Chandler was like the big beard and like that kind of
way hotter.
60s kind of intelligentsia.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So that's who he was. They were like chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
I don't think they worked in the same department, but they knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey was married with two kids and his wife was named Margaret Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
In late December 1962, so just before Gilbert was going to go
off to America.
Over to America, there was a barbecue hosted by another CSIRO colleague.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey and Margaret came and Gilbert Bogle came. And he was 38 at the time. And Margaret, who was 29 at the time, clapped eyes on Gilbert and was immediately keen.
Oh.
On the comb-over.
Because he just oozes.
He had secret
government sexual energy.
Yeah, and she was super into it. Now, Jeffrey was kind of fine with it.
Oh.
Because he was that kind of...
He's like a swinger.
Yeah, he was that kind of...
It's the 60s, baby.
He was kind of like a pre-hippie.
Yeah, like free love vibes.
Mm-hmm. So he was part of the Sydney Push, which was a left-wing organisation for intellectuals. And at the live show, I said Heno would have been in the Push.
He would have been.
And he was in the front row and he was just shaking his head at me. He's like,
I don't want to be this involved in Aussie Mystery Hour. You're just forcing me in.
But it was just like smart people that would go and talk about smart things and like...
Boring.
The government and like...
Oh, yeah.
You know...
It's like always like bitching.
Communism conversations.
Yeah.
And talking about policy and... It sounds but so
doing anything
boring. I don't want to go there.
I don't want to go and meet you for a whiskey, which I hate anyway. And I know that you're drinking whiskey.
Yes, they absolutely would be.
I fucking hate whiskey. If I had to sit down and have like a whiskey neat, I don't even know what that is, but I just assume it's just there.
That's without ice.
It's just there.
That's just glass. The worst.
Disgusting.
That's the worst. I don't mind whiskey on the rocks.
It's like sipping a shot.
Yeah, it's
if someone said, hey, you're going to have a whiskey neat and we're going to talk about communism.
Yeah. And like social theory. No, I'd maybe be into
communism because that's kind of spicy. But like if someone said like, we're going to talk about like the state of like politics in Australia.
Oh my God.
Like where to next? I would be like, I would rather go and watch like 10 hours of The Big Bang Theory.
Absolutely.
Like 100%.
Yep.
And I hate The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. I would like feign that I was going to labor so I could leave.
I would say I had a very bad IBS situation,
yes.
Which is similar
to
going into labor.
Something's coming out of my body.
It's not the non-pregnant way to get out of things, I think.
Yeah, it sounds awful. So I kind of can't
I'm going into labor. My baby is like, you know, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
It's fine. But no one needs to worry.
I don't want to drink whiskey.
Me and then talk with me around the maternity ward.
Don't just be stay in the there. Operating room talking to me about the communist manifesto.
Because I know you're worried because the baby's like younger than it should be right now to come out. But like, actually, I lied to you, and it's a full term. We're full term. No one Uber. Needs to come. getting an Uber in 1960.
So he and Margaret, because he was this kind of freewheeling chap,
sexy guy. Yeah,
they had an open relationship, and I've written here on his side because he had a girlfriend.
Oh,
but I couldn't find anything about her side of things.
So like, he had an open relationship, but he she had. At that point wasn't really seeing anyone.
But that's why he then couldn't be angry when she was like, "Hello, Gilbert Bogle," at the party. I'm just picturing like the 60s party, and she's got the sunnies on with the cat eye, and she like pulls them down to look at him like in Grease.
Yes.
Grease the movie, not Grease the country.
Yes.
So Jeff literally said to her, this is a quote, if you want to have Gib,
that's the worst nickname.
If you want to have Gib as a lover, if it would make you happy, you do it.
Oh. Well, at least you're not being a jealous little shit.
Yeah, I think we like Jeffrey.
Yeah, I think so.
So then 2 weeks after Gilbert and Margaret had met at that barbecue, it was New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously 60s swinging, let's have a good time. Gilbert kind of pulled some strings and made sure that the Chandlers were going to come to the same party that he was going to with his wife, who was pregnant at the time. Actually, no, he left the wife at home. Sorry, he left the wife at home.
You stay at home.
He was like, look, it's bad enough that I'm probably going to get my leg over someone else while you're pregnant, but I'd rather not do it in front of you.
It just seems a bit.
That's a little on the nose.
It's a bit on the nose. I think that his pregnant wife would probably kick him in the balls for like shoving it in her face.
Because I don't think they had an open relationship, let's just say.
Okay.
So she was pregnant with their fourth child. Oh. So he was being a dickhead.
A bit of a fuckwit.
So they went to this party, Chatswood, on the North Shore.
Okay. Chatswood seems like a weird place to go to a party, yes, but sure.
Hosted by another CSIRO colleague named Kenneth Nash and his wife, Ruth. So Gilbert left the wife at home, Vivian.
Yes.
In Tarramurra.
They're all over that way. All North Shore. Yeah.
Because CSIRO, I think, is somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So left her at home with the kids, headed to the party. Margaret and Jeff showed up.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeff thought the party was pretty tame.
Oh.
You know, because he's into like...
Jeff's like, I'm like way cooler than these guys.
I'm going to Newtown. Like, he literally went to the inner west.
Oh, my God. It's the same.
Yeah.
He left. For anyone listening who's not into the Sydney...
Oh, yeah.
Like, the inner west is where you would find someone from the Sydney push now. Yes.
Yeah. Kenno. So he left at 11:30 to buy cigarettes, in inverted commas, but then he surfaced in Balmain at another party with his girlfriend.
He's just like really party hopping this
guy. Yeah, he was like, fuck this. So I don't know how he managed to get from Chatswood to Balmain in the 60s.
Well, they would have had taxis.
You know what? No one cared about drink driving then.
Probably was just driving, to be honest.
And he rocked up there with his girlfriend, Pamela Logan.
Okay.
They left and went back to her place. And when he was done there, I've written, I wonder what they were doing. He came back to the party in Chatswood at 3 a.m.
Wait, what? So he's gone? Okay. So he went to the inner west to go to some fucking Sydney push talk, probably. Yeah. Really boring thing to do on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Then he's like picked up his girlfriend, gone to Balmain to another party, then been like, let's go fuck.
Yeah.
And then literally gone, cool, I'm going to go back to this party.
Yeah, I should go and see what my wife's doing.
Yeah. Should probably revisit what my wife is doing at 3 a.m, but sure.
And I wrote all these subheads because it was such a convoluted story. Yeah. And we're doing a live show. The subheads like, Jeff leaves party. And then the next one is back in Chatswood. So I could like anchor
meanwhile,
myself.
Over in Chatswood.
So Margaret was set on Gilbert at this point.
Yes.
Witness accounts say Jeff made sure Gilbert would drive Margaret home.
Right.
Then he left again.
Wait, so Jeff's gone back to the party. And Margaret's still there.
She's there and she's
with
just,
Gilbert,
she's
hanging out.
Heart eyes at Gilbert.
She doesn't give a shit where he's been.
She doesn't care.
Like, oh, that's my husband back again.
But Jeff does his due diligence and says, Gib, doll, can you drive her home?
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, sure.
And then he just vanishes
so
again.
So then Jeff fucks off again at 4 a.m. to go back to Pam's house. He goes back to the girlfriend.
Oh, do you know what? No mobile phones. He probably like literally had to like hightail over there to be like,
just to make sure.
Cool. My wife's cool. Yeah. I'm going to go back to Pamela's house.
What a pain that would have been. Ugh, when he could have just texted her.
Just text.
And being
just,
like,
you know what? You guys are smart. You're at the CSIRO. Just invent you're a phone.
Intellectuals.
You should have invented a phone already.
You should have figured out how to text message in 1962. I
know it's not remotely connected to physicists.
Someone there.
Physics.
Surely someone there just had the skills.
Out. It's the same area. It's wheelhouse. Same but wheelhouse.
Didn't they have landlines? Couldn't you have just called the landline?
I think maybe he's a bit, you know, not.
Yeah, too many.
Too many.
Magic cigarettes.
Magic cigarette
injecting
pills.
Too many magic cigarettes.
He injected a cigarette into his eye, and it wasn't a good time.
And that's why he couldn't pick up the phone. Yeah. He had to physically go.
Injected a cigarette.
So he left at 4:00. Then Gilbert and Margaret left at 4:15.
Mm-hmm.
So they drove. So clearly no one gave a fuck that they had seven bottles of whiskey.
40 whiskeys.
they drove to a secluded spot of the Lane Cove River. It's a known Lover's Lane area, but not very picturesque. So yeah. I did a bit of research on Google Maps, like the street view, and it's all like shrubby, and you park your car and there's like a trail, and then it's just like a brown river. It's not like a pretty river.
Because in my head I'm like, Lover's Lane, a beautiful sparkling river under a moonlit sky.
It's literally just people want to fuck in the bushes where no one can see them. That's all it is. So it's kind of weird to go here since Jeffrey was going to Pam's house, so the Chandler's place was empty.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure where their kids were.
Yeah. Maybe there.
Yeah.
Honestly, I wouldn't put it past these people to just like leave like a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old and be like, probably. The 5-year-old will look 60s. After it. It'll be fine.
Anything
if
there's
goes. A fire, the 5-year-old is smart enough because we're both like bionically smart.
Yeah.
The 5-year-old will like pick up the 2-year-old and know to call the police and like fire leave. Brigade as well and then walk out and also save the family photo albums. The 5-year-old will do it.
And the family dog.
And the dog. And get everything sorted.
I actually like make myself feel better sometimes when I think about how like in our when our parents were babies.
Yeah.
Like there was none of this like controlled crying and feeding schedules and routines. It was just like, what did my nan do with my dad? She probably just had him, put him in a cot and just dealt with it.
Oh, yeah.
And dad's fine.
Oh, my God. I used to get left. So we lived in an apartment. And then at the, like, the outdoor bit was where we used to have, like, birthday parties. And we were up on the top floor at the front of the apartment block. It was, like, a 6 or 8 block apartment, 8 apartment block. And Mum was like, yeah, I used to like, leave Kate up there and then, like, take the little baby monitor down. And then just, like, if she made a noise that was, like, beyond just a bleh. I'd just go up and like
very Maddie McCann areas.
Really Maddie McCann areas.
Except they're on the top.
So normal.
They're on the top floor, so that's fine.
It's fine. It's all fine.
No one's going to climb up there and take Kate.
No one is going to scale the wall for a baby.
No one can be bothered.
No, she wasn't that cute. It's fine.
Oh, wow. That was a segue.
Yeah.
So they were last seen at 5 a.m. still in the car.
Yeah.
And then I've written, I have no idea what the other person that saw them was doing at 5 a.m.
Definitely the same thing.
Clearly a muddy sexcapade of their
muddy
own.
Muddy sexcapades.
So then that was the last time they were seen. Then at 7:45 a.m. on New Year's Day, January 1st, 1963, two local boys were doing what local boys do at 7:45 on New Year's Day, collecting stray golf balls.
Oh.
Down at the riverbank.
Always doing that.
That's my favourite thing to do of a morning.
I go, you know what would be so fucking fun at like fucking, you know, dumb o'clock in the morning after New Year's. Yeah, is to go down and like collect. Why at 7:45? That's too early. Why do you want the golf? What are you going to do with the golf balls?
I don't know. I think about this a lot.
So, do you?
Because I'm like, maybe their parents were hungover and asleep, so they're just like, bored, let's go do something.
Yes.
And then I'm like, do they like hand the golf balls into like the golf club and get money? Or do they just collect them and like throw them at people?
Entrepreneurial geniuses.
Kids are like, either my way. Brother was an entrepreneur. Like he would buy lollies and then resell them at school.
Oh my God,
for
got
more
a genius.
Money. In year 6.
What like
he's
a
an
genius.
Evil genius, my brother.
That is an evil
but
genius
would,
thing to do.
He would do something like this if he knew that he could. And I see at the football, like, they have these recyclable cups and if you hand them in, you get a dollar.
Yeah.
So at the end, there's always kids carrying literally a stack of 20 cups. Yes. Like, they've just gone around and collected them.
Oh, my God, 20 bucks.
And they get 20
Easy
bucks.
Easy money.
And it's always, you'd never see an adult doing that.
No.
It's the kids that are like, fuck yeah, we're going
to
collect
and
these.
And I feel like as adults, we like want to do it, but we're embarrassed to do it.
Yeah, I'd be so embarrassed.
We're like,
so
I like, can't be carrying around 20 recyclable
maybe
cups.
Maybe I'll make my kid do it for me.
Mm.
And I'll take the money from
That's
them.
That's genius.
That's evil genius.
That's evil. Obviously, the Rosenberg-Clark connection is just evil geniuses.
Oh, my God. So these boys were there.
Golf balls.
Looking for balls. Mm-hmm. And instead they found a man in a suit lying face down on the ground.
Oh.
And they just thought he was sleeping off his big night.
I mean.
On a muddy riverbank.
Normally I'd be like, okay, but I'd be like fair in this point. I'd be like, sure.
I don't know. I think because we do what we do. It's the same with Somerton Man where they're like, ah, he's drunk.
Yeah.
Ah, he hasn't moved in 3 hours.
Yeah, but
we
we'd
better
be
check.
Like, he's dead.
Like immediately I'd be like, you okay, doll? So they actually didn't look into it any further. But then an hour later they walked back past and he hadn't moved.
Mm-hmm.
So they took a closer look. And what they found was the dead body of Gilbert Bogle.
Oh, no.
And there were no obvious signs of injury or trauma. But he had a slight patch of bruising or discoloration on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And a trickle of blood coming out of his nose.
That's so spicy.
And the strangest part was that he actually wasn't wearing the suit. He was naked and someone had covered his body up with a piece of carpet.
What?
And lay the suit over the top.
What?
Of that.
What? That doesn't even make any sense. Yeah. Put the suit first.
Yeah. Carpet. Suit.
That is so
naked underneath.
Chaotic.
Lying on his stomach.
That is, why wouldn't you, I don't know why I'm fixated on this, but you would lay the suit first on his naked skin.
Yeah.
If you're doing some weird sort of setup.
Yeah.
Then the carpet.
Then the carpet. So the boys ran off, obviously, and called the police who came to investigate the scene.
Mm.
And then what they found was 15 metres away from Gilbert, closer to the riverbank, was the body of Margaret Chandler.
Oh.
She was also found in a similar unusual state.
Mm-hmm.
So she was on her back. Her dress was bunched around her waist.
Mm-hmm.
Her bra was off. And she had a pair of men's underwear next to her. Someone had placed 3 flattened beer cartons on top of her body.
What?
She had grazes on her knees, elbows and nose, and her body was still slightly warm, whereas Gilbert was already in the stages of rigor mortis.
Oh.
So she had died after him.
Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah.
Also, I've just realised that the carpet.
Yes.
Is the sex carpet.
Well, I was going to reveal that later.
Okay. I've ruined it. I just couldn't remember. I remembered that's the only thing I remember from this story.
The only
I actually
thing
forgot about the clothes. I remembered the clothing, but I didn't remember when where it was. That was genuinely
the
I was
only
confused.
Thing any of us remember from this is the sex carpet. So I was going to reveal it later,
we'll
but I'll say it,
it
now. No, I'll say
oh,
it now.
Oh, okay.
So he basically, and what was funny at the live show, was basically he brought the carpet. It was a BYO carpet that he
so
kept
good.
In his car for the purposes of sex. So Mel named it the sex carpet.
Because what else would you name it? Why? You just got a rolled up bit of carpet in the back
like,
of your car.
Oh, grab this. Like, it's not even a picnic rug or something.
No.
Normal to have in a car and to have sex on.
I know. Just have a nice picnic
like,
blanket.
He's just recarpeted his house. He's like, it's a nice off cut. I put that in the car for when I want to have
that's
sex
great
on the
for
riverbank.
All the times I have sex on the riverbank in the mud.
And what was so funny was I put up some pics on the projector,
mm-hmm.
and there was an ABC show about this mm-hmm. case, and it starred I can't remember who, but the guy had the carpet under
rolled
his arm
up.
And you were like, he's got the carpet, and the whole room, like, everyone lost it.
Sex carpet.
Sex
I don't know
carpet.
Why I got it in my head like sledgehammer, you know.
Oh yeah.
Sex carpet.
And we know that they were having sex because there was fresh semen on
oh they were definitely fucking
on Gilbert's body.
Oh.
And his coat.
What? On his coat?
Mate,
aim better. If you're going to pull out, just not on your coat.
Yeah.
That has to be dry cleaned.
But I think some shit was going on. Well, literally shit was going
okay.
on. Okay. What the police found at the scene was also vomit and poo.
What?
This is what got me because I love poo.
Yeah.
And Dad, I think Dad had given me that detail. Like he said,
yeah.
Oh, these people died. They were found on the riverbank and there was like, it was weird. They had like clothes placed on them and there was like poo everywhere. I'm like, what? Poo? And then I had to look it up. And there was poo everywhere. The pair had evidently been like violently ill before
okay,
they died.
Okay, now I'm following.
I'm
following.
Yes.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
So the police figured that they were probably poisoned. So yes, the coroner was called to investigate. But autopsies revealed no trace of any poisons.
Whoa.
In Gilbert.
That fucks me up.
And Margaret's systems.
No, secret poison. I hate it.
Secret poison. So with the mix of sexual fucking tomfoolery, a sex carpet, mm-hmm, swinging people, CSIRO employees, secret government shit, the weird way the body was found.
Yes.
The media went, yes, fucking nuts on spies, this case.
Spies.
They were
spies.
Just like, what is going on? There's swingers, it's spies, it's sex carpet.
It's a whole, it's a little smorgasbord of spice and zest.
Yeah, it was all happening. So, but it was, the police couldn't figure it out. So there was an inquest the following year, 1963. And the coroner, Mr. J.J. Looms, concluded that Bogle and Chandler had died because of acute circulatory failure. But as to the circumstances under which such circulatory failure was brought about, the evidence does not permit me to say. Oh. And I've written here, thanks for nothing, coroner. Yeah.
What you're saying is, I have nothing for you.
I'm just going to say it in a lot of words. But like, I have an essay word count to hit. So yes. I'm just going to add some.
Therefore, perchance.
The circumstances under which such.
Yes, it's a lot of, you were getting to a character count.
And he got there, mm-hmm, and he told us nothing, nothing. So the case went cold and remained cold for decades. In 1996, a new test did find minute traces of LSD in their systems. But that was the only clue to what may have happened, but it's not really conclusive because I've never done LSD. I've never smoked acid.
I have never painted acid on my balls of my feet to get high.
Never. But I don't think it makes you.
That's how you do it.
Doesn't make you shit and vomit and die.
Right? No. And also, I would say being the 60s, they could have just been doing that for fun.
Yeah, at the party.
Like, that really doesn't to me say, oh, you've died from LSD.
And like, it's not really the effects of LSD that, like, when people do die after taking it, it's usually they've had a hallucination where they're being chased by something and they jump off a cliff or they put themselves in danger.
Yes.
So I actually did research and it says most deaths from using LSD occur because of the user's behavior. So not just because they're like, oh my God, I'm vomiting, I'm pooing, I'm dead.
I've never heard of that.
But it was believed that CSIRO scientists were creating their own batches of LSD.
Oh.
So instead of inventing phones or, you know, doing any work,
they're
all fucking each other and making drugs in the lab.
I mean, I want to work there, but also rude.
But also, like, you're government employees.
Like, spend my money wisely.
Do some fucking work. They were wild.
They were just crazy motherfuckers. What are they doing? Like, they're just making, like, rogue LSD tabs.
So basically they're like, who knows what was in those tabs. Like, it could have been something that made you shit yourself and die.
Yeah, maybe they were, like, trying to make, like, bionic LSD. Yes.
So there's a few theories.
Yes.
I've written here, spy shit.
I was just about to, like, my first thought, spy shit.
Obviously the spy shit comes into play because he was about to go overseas.
Yes.
To work on spy shit in America.
Global spies.
And you know, when you take spy shit global, that's when, like,
The Russians
get involved. Cold War was happening.
Yep. The Mafia.
The Mafia might hear about maybe. It. The CIA.
Yeah. Well, the CIA would want you to be there.
No, but maybe they didn't.
Oh. Like, what, they hate their
maybe,
own country.
Maybe he was a double agent. I don't know.
Like, he could be Russian or Mafia.
Actually, I just made that up, but it's actually on there. Oh. It's actually in my notes.
We were just going down our own usual shitty path. Stupid,
yeah. But I've literally written here, some people believe he may have been killed off by the KGB, so he couldn't continue his research, or that the CIA killed him because he was a double agent working for Russia.
We are so smart. I already knew this. Also, we always say this. Every single time we go, Russia, Mafia, CIA, ASIO. So at some point we were going to land.
We were going to land on
and
something.
We did it today.
We did it.
We've done it.
Also, I did know this. It was deep in the recesses of my brain. I've just forgotten.
I don't think this gets to be a win because you did actually. We both knew it.
We've researched this heavily. And then another zesty element to this theory is that Margaret was also a spy. I think she was a nurse. Ah. I forgot to say that. I think she was actually a nurse. But that she was a spy and they'd gone down to the river to retrieve something
from the water. Fucking, but they had to pretend to fuck. So they, He jizzed on his jacket, so ruined it.
He was like, hang on, I'm just going to quickly nut one out, make it look like we've fucked. And he's just like.
Oh, my God, the visual that I have right now of him being like, I'm so sorry, Margaret, just give me like 5 seconds.
Because they have here. They're not into each other at all. And she's just like, oh, gross. Fuck. And he's over there just fucking.
I don't want to see it. You're moving so much. Just can you do it a bit less just jittery?
Like, I don't need so much elbow action. I
don't need to just hear it.
Be gentle with it, but fuck's
sake. Can you just like mentally make
she's
yourself
She's like, la, 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 singing like a Frank Sinatra tune to drown it out.
The wheels on the bus go round and round.
He's like, oh, okay. Okay.
And I got it on my jacket.
Oh, it's all gonna over my coat.
Dry cleaning. Now.
Vivian's going to kill me.
She's going to fucking, she's going to lose her shit. It's going to cost $50 to clean.
Speaking of Vivian.
Oh.
The other next theory.
Another spy.
Is jealous spouse.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say there was more spy.
No, that was the like, spy
just
theory.
That's too much.
That was it. So jealous spouse. I think at the live show we had a whole thing where we were like the Russians came and actually jizzed on his coat to like cover it up.
They were like the best one. I love past us.
Past us was so funny. I was looking at the notes and I was like, I don't think that's in the manual. It was super funny. You had to be there, guys. You should have been there.
You should have been there, and because you weren't. You missed out and you get this sort of subpar retelling.
Of us just laughing at how funny we are.
Like ruin the sex carpet joke. Forgot about the
shark
lasers.
You know
what?
Sex carpet wasn't there. So I'm glad you brought it up because I clearly haven't written it down.
It's the only thing I remember, Josie. So Vivian's pissed, understandably.
Well, no, Vivi was at home like heavily pregnant.
Okay.
So she actually wasn't considered a suspect, but Jeffrey was.
I was going to say she could have hired a hitman.
Yeah, and I find it weird Jeffrey was because he was like.
He's the swinger. He's chill.
But that quote that I said of him being like, if you want to take Gib as a lover, that came out after they died.
Right.
Of him being like, I don't care. I was fine with it.
Yeah.
I didn't care if she rooted Gilbert.
Oh, so he could have
whatever.
Been like.
Whatever. I'm chill.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm fine.
And he's just like I'm hiding the poison
fine
under his
about this.
Sofa cushion.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
I'm fine.
I'm really fine.
I'm fine.
Abby in The Bachelor last night.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to cry.
I'm like, 2 minutes crying. Later. I don't even love him, obviously. So I'm not crying.
So he did leave the party at the same time as them, which was a bit sus.
Suspect.
But during their estimated time of death, he was seen in Balmain back at his other lane
by
party.
Who?
By all of
the
his
push
friends.
Well, what do we think about the push, guys?
They all lied.
They all. Moses did this little hand wavy, flicky finger thing where she was like, they all lied.
They all lied to cover up that he poisoned.
I'm into it as a theory.
But I've written here maybe the drug that he poisoned them with was slow acting because their time of death doesn't
shit.
Necessarily
oh,
mean.
Shit.
It's not like they were shot at 5 a.m.
No.
They just.
And he.
Expired at 5 a.m.
He's tinkering around in the CSIRO with little test tubes.
He's been tinkering and he's the hippie, so he's the one into like chemicals.
He's the head honcho of the LSD party.
He injected them both with bongs. They went down there and then they vomited.
They're
pooed,
like,
jizzed,
I feel
died.
Fine. Suddenly.
And then he's in Balmain.
I'm shitting my pants.
But he actually.
Not hot when I'm trying to have sex.
He wrote a book called So You Think I Did It.
Jeffrey! Is it Gerald or Jeffrey?
Jeffrey! So in the book, he put forward the theory that Gilbert was killed over his top secret CSIRO work and that Margaret was just wrong place, wrong time.
Oh.
He made the point that they could have gone to the Chandler's house, so why go to the riverbank to have sex? So he thought they were doing some sus spy stuff down there.
Okay, all of this sounds like I didn't do it. Here's my personal theory.
Here's
why.
A theory.
So that you don't think that I did it.
Don't find the poison under the sofa cushion.
What I'm saying is there's no poison under the sofa cushion.
You can look there once you've finished reading my book. That gives me enough time to flush it down the toilet. Another person who had reason to be jealous was a woman named Margaret Fowler.
Oh, well, who's this bitch?
Now, it's the 60s. Everyone's called Margaret.
Yes. There's too many Margarets.
Everybody that worked
like
at the CSIRO was
Let's
called
call her Fowlsy.
Fowlsy. So Fowlsy also worked there. But because they were doing nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing there.
Nothing at all.
She worked in the physics library, and because he was a physicist, he obviously went to the library, and they'd been rooting for 3 years. He was actually such a bad dude.
Don't fuck Fowlsy for 3 years and then just,
you've
like, leave her high and dry.
You got a wife and almost a wife four
who
kids.
I don't think was into this swinging
I
action.
Don't think she was. And it's not all fine cool.
and good for Jeffrey and Margaret, other Margaret.
Chandler,
not,
yeah.
Not Fousey.
Not Fousey.
But it's not okay to fuck the Fousey and not tell your wife about it.
I wonder who else he was fucking. But anyway, Gilbert broke it off, apparently, a few months before his death because she was irrational. Oh. And I've written here, a bit of a stage five clinger.
Okay. That's what they all say.
Not fair. Not fair.
Sorry that I'm upset because you have been fucking me for 3 years and
now you're breaking up with me.
And now you're breaking up with me out of nowhere. And also that this whole 3 years you haven't told your wife about us and you haven't left your wife. I'm sorry
and now you're,
that maybe I'm slightly mad about it.
And you're about to fuck someone else that yeah. you've met at some but I'm party.
Crazy.
But I'm crazy.
I'm the crazy one.
Okay. Okay. I'm crazy. So she wasn't invited to the party in Chatswood, but several CSIRO colleagues claim to have seen her loitering outside. Oh, my outside. God.
Fousey, no. Fousey, get your shit together, honey. Get your shit together.
Don't do that on New Year's. That's sad. Do not sad.
Loiter in someone's yard.
Like, it's bad enough. I've loitered.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, Josie.
Yeah, it's actually kind of it's Josie. Kind of a similar story. So there was a party. God, Josie. There was a party, and then my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
I was in high school.
I'm obsessed with this already.
My ex-boyfriend like went back to his house with a bunch of these other girls that we didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend drove drunkenly from God. Her house and she had like a dark car yeah. and we like drove. And, like, we're outside his house trying to see what was going on. We couldn't see anything. So then we drove back home and then she told her big sister, don't tell mom and dad that I drove drunkenly to loiter outside someone's house.
I mean, but at least you're in the car. This
yeah, is yeah, like we're in the car. Like
looking through the windows.
Yes, she was loitering through the windows.
She's like, oh, they're like, oh, Fousey, didn't think you were coming. And she's like, oh, no, I'm not. I'm just like, I'm at a party like three doors down.
Yeah, I'm just down I'm there. Just, I'm just the going The street down is there. Silent. She's yeah. like, just down there. It's a silent disco.
There's like a, there's
just...
like a light baby crying in the house.
It's like a dog. It's a dog silent barking. Disco. Just down there, something like disco. It's dark, it's silent.
Yeah,
there's no one there. That's the party. That's the point.
That's what we're doing.
But yeah, I've loitered, so I do understand where Fousey's coming from. But yeah. also, I was 17 years yes. old.
You're not an adult physics librarian.
No.
Who should know better.
Yeah. And it wasn't New Year's.
No.
This is the other thing. I'm like, it was just a random Fousey, Saturday night.
Go and
night.
Do something else.
Even I, 17-year-old loser me. Mm. Had something better to do on New Year's. By that point, I was over that boyfriend.
Yeah.
Dickhead. He did actually end up sleeping with one of my friends.
Is that staying in the podcast?
Well, yeah. No, oh. no one's going to well, know I don't who he know. Is.
You said it really weird and like sus. It sounded like a sus thing to say, but anyway. Not like a sus thing from you. Like a sus, it sounded like you were saying it like, I'm like secretive, like, by the way, but we're going to cut this out. That's what it sounded like.
Well, I can.
No.
I won't.
Now it's staying.
He did it.
Now you'll all know what Josie does when what she tells me. I said. You know what? You fucking did it and I'm going to out you on national podcast.
National podcast.
But that's how Josie talks when she tells me a thing that she's going to cut out. She goes,
oh, yeah.
And then this thing happened, but we're going to cut that out. And that's how I do it too.
Yes, but we're not.
So now you know the secret.
Now you know the secret. So she was married, Fousey.
Fousey, you yeah. can't be pissed then.
And her husband was a chemical scientist at, you guessed it.
Don't.
The
Stop.
CSIRO.
Stop it.
It was a sex den.
That was just, all they were doing was fucking
like
and making.
You walk into any lab there LSD. And there's people like yeah. fucking. Oops,
on
sorry.
Top of the test
sorry.
Tubes.
Sorry.
Just like this. I don't know why they're like this, but they are.
Mel's like
dangly.
Like flailing around. Because it's very 60s like, oh.
Yeah.
Hit myself in the
it
head.
Must be so much like communal, like glumping around in the podcast.
We're acting out sex. Wow, that sounded bad.
not with each other,
no,
just separately.
We're very far away
we're
from
very
each other.
Far.
So some newspapers pose the theory that he might have concocted the magical poison that left no traces because he was jealous.
And he was the chemical engineer. That sounds way more
he
like a job
he was the
that
chemical
you
engineer.
Know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And then I've made a note here, did defamation exist in 1962? Because that sounds like a bad thing to publish about someone with no evidence.
It also seems like kind of like a very far away degrees of thing.
Because
It's like Fousey's not done it.
No.
Her husband's doing it.
Jealous that she loves Gilbert.
Yes.
I feel sorry for Margaret Chandler here. I feel like she's collateral damage.
She's collateral damage.
But then I don't feel sorry because she shouldn't have been sleeping with another woman's husband.
I know. There's a lot of factors here, isn't
girls
there?
Support girls, Margaret.
Everyone, just don't be a cunt is what it is.
Get your penis. Keep it in your pants.
Yes.
Go to work. Leave it in your pants.
Yep.
Do your science work.
Continue to have your penis in your pants. Continue
unless you need to pee and then only use it for peeing. Yep. Put it back in your pants. Finish your work. Say goodbye to your colleagues.
Yep.
Go home. Then you can take it out of your
pants. Take it out whenever and wherever you want in your own home.
Flop it out as soon as you walk in the door.
Drop your pants at the door if you want.
That's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. Do not get it out in the physics library of all places.
In the chemical engineer room.
No. Nah. It's dangerous.
In the cryogenics room.
Even more dangerous.
Yeah, that you don't want a frozen dick. You I don't think that's going to be fun.
Your dick off. So just some tips if just you work at the CSIRO.
A few tips for you CSIRO
if
workers
listening. If anyone does work at the CSIRO.
Can you talk to us?
I need the tea. I need to know if it's still a sex den.
Do you feel like they're going to tell you, yes, my workplace is a sex den?
I haven't done any work for 3 years. I've been fucking in the library every day.
wow, the longest segue away.
Aphrodisiac, I've written here.
Mm.
This theory.
Oh, yes, okay.
Is that maybe Margaret Fowsey.
Yeah.
And or her husband got an accomplice. It's even more of a reach. To spike Gilbert and Margaret's drinks at the party.
I can even see that you don't understand where this is going yet.
I don't remember this theory.
Well, I like it.
Oh, wait. I think that spiking the drinks was from the last theory.
Oh, wait, that is – okay, so that is how they would do it.
Yes, that's how they would do it.
I like it.
I've written my subhead.
But why is it an aphrodisiac?
I've written a subhead too early in the piece. The subhead comes so before good. This theory.
So like, they're like, what? You know what? I'm so mad at them. I'm so going to make mad. Them really horny.
I want them to have the best sex of their lives. That's the best revenge. The
best revenge is for them to like orgasm themselves into death. I mean,
it looks
what
like
a way
that's
to go.
What happened.
I mean, kind of.
So this is the aphrodisiac theory.
Actually, I actually think this might be more batshit than the live show.
And we've drunk coffee.
We're not even, no one's drunk or high or anything.
Not
You're me. Even drinking an orange juice.
Sober as a judge. Vitamin C is my drug. So this theory about an aphrodisiac, I found it on the Blogspot page, Strange Company.
Oh, yes. That sounds very reputable.
So it was posed by Dr. Pang Tang Chung, the director of forensic medicine for the Hong Kong police.
Oh, well, now it does sound really reputable.
So he came across two similar deaths, and the victims had died after taking a legal Asian aphrodisiac called yohimbine.
Mm.
Yohimbine?
Okay.
Yohimbine.
Yohimbine.
I don't know how to say it.
Silent A. Yohimbine. Yohimbine.
turns out there were rumors flying that, which I don't really buy this because Gilbert was a complete slut.
Okay.
Gilbert was suffering from sexual difficulties.
Oh.
So he wanted to do it in his head, but then his
body didn't want to.
So Strange Company called that a disastrous development for someone of his proclivities.
But
he couldn't get it up.
Well, a thought though. Because maybe he was fucking everything that moved because he was insecure.
It was overcompensating.
Because, you know, it's like, you know how they say that people that have like Ferraris have tiny penises and it's like they're sad and then they buy the Ferrari and then they act like a douche because they're like overcompensating. So maybe he was like taking all these things.
Mm-hmm. Before Viagra existed.
Yeah.
Yep.
So maybe.
And this was... had killed people before. So the page asks, might he and his new lover had tried this exotic drug with fatal results?
But why would she take it?
I don't know. Maybe it wasn't just a dick one. Maybe it was just like
all over one.
Like a, let's eat like oysters. So then there was this doco that was the sex picture. Carpet picture called on the ABC in 2006 called Who Killed Dr. Bogle and Mrs. Chandler? And it had like dramatized bits.
I love
why they were there. So it was made by a man named Peter Butt.
Mm-hmm.
B-U-double-T.
Oh, it's just I always think of this people that have the last name Butt.
Peter Butt.
Maybe once you grow out of being in primary school, you just sort of embrace it as a vibe.
Yeah, like it's your thing.
Yeah.
So he's an investigative doco maker. He's made one on our friend Harold Holt.
Oh.
Speaking of sluts. So he suggested that the couple died. Yeah. And this is actually one of the most common theories because of hydrogen sulfide poisoning.
Okay.
He posed evidence such as reports from locals saying that the river smelled of rotten eggs and that sometimes when you were down there you'd become nauseous.
Oh.
And there was a factory nearby that was apparently dumping hydrogen sulfide into the river. There were mass fish deaths as well, and that suggested that there was toxicity in the water or in the riverbed.
That seems
bad. Really bad.
Doesn't seem like a good thing.
Horrible. I don't think the factory is supposed to be doing that.
No.
So Peter Butt did heaps of investigation into the weather conditions of the night and discovered that where Gilbert and Margaret had been was basically in a ditch at water level.
Mm.
So the gas buildup would have been at their level.
Okay, so it was just like an unfortunate coincidence.
Yes.
They picked the worst possible spot to roll lay out down the sex
carpet and go to town on each other. But believed that there were signs pointing to this cause of death. The discoloration on Gilbert's cheek means the blood had turned purple, which is a sign of hydrogen sulfide poisoning. He also consulted forensic experts who looked at the scene and believed the victims looked like they'd been gassed. The way they appeared.
This would make sense why they didn't find anything in their bodies.
Yeah. And, like, you know, she has all the grazes.
Yeah.
Like, she was trying to, like, run and, like, fell, and she was 15 metres away.
I assumed the grazes were from, like, doing doggy style. I'm not going to lie. That's what I thought that was about. But sure. Also that.
Okay.
Also that.
Then in 2016, Peter Butt, can't stop saying.
His whole name.
The
whole name.
He published a book called Dr. Bogle and Mrs. Chandler, The Confession.
Mm-hmm.
In it, a psychologist said that a female patient who claimed to have witnessed their deaths.
What?
The woman and her girlfriend were also having a roll in the hay down at Lane Cove at the same time when one of them dropped her purse in the dark. They heard someone coming and hid in the bushes. Then they saw Gilbert and Margaret strip off all their clothes.
Amazing.
Just everything.
Just everything,
like,
at once.
I just think if I was going to bone in public, I'd just take my undies off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In case. So the women were having a bit of a perv. Honestly, I think I would too.
Yeah, same.
And this lady claimed to have seen and heard these things, according to the psychologist in Peter Butt's book. At some point, the woman said loudly, "Why have you stopped, Margaret?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said nothing, and she asked him to keep on going. Get it, Margaret.
Get it, Margaret.
Then suddenly the woman grabbed her throat and made a strangling noise and got up and staggered off. After a few minutes, he rolled over or moved some short distance. And my memory suggests, the patient said, he moved away from the water and up the slope. They waited a little while till there was no noise to look for the purse. They smelled some rotten egg gas, but it seemed to go away as they moved closer to the edge of the water. As they searched, they discussed why the couple had acted so strangely and just assumed they'd been on drugs or something.
Well, same.
Yeah, so that was all a quote from Peter Butt's book.
Weird that the rotten egg smell moved. Is that what you're about to say?
No.
That when she was moving toward the water, that it went away.
So it, like, moved, like the gas, like, moved through the air.
Yeah. But I guess you said it was a ditch, right?
Yeah.
So potentially has it, like, hovered.
So they were at, so the water was there, then there was, like, ground, then there was a ditch, so that ditch was at the same level as the water,
so it might have been, like, potentially the gas has, like, accumulated in a spot.
Yeah,
I don't know if gas can do that, but I assume it can.
I'm not sure either.
Let's go with that.
Peter Butt said the psychologist signed a statutory declaration detailing this story, which contains unpublicized details of the crime scene that could only have come from someone that was at the river that morning. So these women were definitely there.
So they were 100%
according to Peter Butt's book.
Mm.
But the official cause of death to this day has never been confirmed. So it remains.
So it's not, like, even though that's pretty, like.
Yep.
That's, see, because I don't really buy that theory.
It seems a bit.
See, I'm way back on the getting spy shit.
Spy drugged. Shit. Drugged. Or, at the party. Because everyone Gilbert. At the party was CSI, right?
Yeah. Someone in CSI. Yeah. Drink. Somebody in that company
yeah
has fucking drug these guys.
You know what was zesty that I didn't include in this because I spoke for like 3 hours at the live show. But like a year later, the two people that hosted the party, one of them killed themselves. I think they both killed themselves. Or like one died and then one killed themselves. Spicy. Yeah. So that's a bit sus. I think it was definitely someone at the party spiked their drink. I don't buy this rotten egg because those women were there. There were kids looking for balls. Yeah. It's an area where people go. You can go there now.
More people would have died down there.
What are the chances of just two people in the whole of history dying because of this rotten egg gas?
Exactly. That's how I was thinking. And I get the, like, I can understand the, like, logistics of the ditch and potentially if the gas built up in there, but it's still sus. Like, if it's a popular spot for people to go and fuck, it's like other people would have used the ditch, surely.
Yeah.
Also, was thinking a thing that I've forgotten. Oh, no, this is what I was thinking was this dude is, like, Captain High Power, like probably most popular at CSIRO, going to America. People could have just been fucking shitty.
Yeah.
Everyone loved him.
Yep.
It doesn't even have to be connected to all the sex. No, it could just be like
some weird, weedy little scientist man that was jealous of like the charismatic, smart, millions of secret fucking operations going on, cryogenics, Mazer, sex. He was good at everything.
Yeah.
So they've just gone, fuck you, spiking your drink and she died too.
And but maybe also whatever this weird mystery drug was, maybe the reason she died later than him is because maybe it transferred through spit or something.
Yes.
I just love this. I just made that up. But like could be.
Yep.
We don't know what this mystery drug was.
We don't know.
And then it's like, where'd the mystery drug go? Where is it now? Like in the inventions land of life.
I don't know. Maybe they never used it again because it worked and they didn't want to be incriminated. And
maybe it was the people that killed themselves and then they've like taken it to the grave.
Maybe.
I love this story.
But that, like that's the, you know, I didn't do any credits.
Oh, shit.
but I don't have them.
We can do them in the.
But I don't.
Well, we don't have them. I never wrote them. You know what? This is, you know what? Sometimes it's going to work. Sometimes it's not.
I never wrote them down because of the live show.
Yeah. We didn't do them.
I've definitely credited that book.
On the website, the Blogspot, Peter Strange Butt's Company.
Book and Strange Company.
So we got partially
there. There was a lot of Wikipedia.
The documentary.
I can tell you that. There was the doco.
Yeah.
But I unfortunately can't tell you any other credits. Enough. I'm sorry. That's just a one-off. I'm usually very conscientious about this stuff.
You are.
But that's the wild fucking story.
I love it so much.
Gilbert Bogle Chandler. So thank you to my father for that one.
Yeah.
Because I would have found out about it because a lot of people have suggested it.
But still.
But it was just a lovely thing to discover on a car trip to Canberra.
It was.
I was just like, Dad, and then they vomited and shat everywhere. He's like, there's all these wild 60s cases that he told me about that are in the back pocket.
They're in the back pocket. They're coming up. If you work at CSIRO, we want to know about it. If you have been somewhere where you smelt the rotten fish, no, that's too many. Everywhere smells like rotten fish.
Yeah,
I smell that all the time.
Been poisoned at Lane Cove.
If you've been poisoned in the Lover's Lane mud, if you've taken a sex carpet for a roll in the hay.
Do you have a sex carpet?
Tell us. You have one? Yeah. Love to know.
Yes, join the group. Do the things.
Give us 5 stars on iTunes. Oh, my Bumble, Tinder, Hinge petition is going well. We've had 2 people now.
2 reviews.
Review me based off literally just that advertising on
That's great. Dating apps. Love that marketing. So
this is my gift to you as the pregnant, stable relationship person.
Yes, I need that zest in my life.
What you can do is when you have the baby in mothers groups, you can stick up posters everywhere.
I'll just
convert all the mothers.
All mums love true crime, right?
They do.
I'm just going to tell them all to listen.
We'll use our personal lifestyles to get people to listen to the podcast.
And then one day we'll be the biggest podcast in the world.
Ever.
In the history of podcasts.
Or it'll just coast along like it has been.
Yeah, it's fine.
Either way, we love you guys.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.